Welcome in to our post-game show. This is the Stretch 4 with the Bulls Outcast. I'm Matt Peck. That's John Sabine. That's Big Dave Watson. Well, did we all think that that's how the season opener was going to go?
Things got out of hand.
I thought it was going to be a loss. I honestly did. There's a lot being changed by Billy Donovan in these systems right now. This is still a young team. This is still not a very talented team. I didn't think it was going to be that bad. John, what about you?
Things really escalated, huh? Brick killed a guy. That's how I felt when I was watching the second quarter. Because if I'm being honest, the first quarter, I was not watching the score. I was just focused on the players. Like, again, and I was like, we're doing okay. And I looked up and it was like 22-9 or something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wait, when did that happen? Because I was like watching it too closely. And then during the second quarter, my wife came home from work and she was like, how the Bulls doing? And I go, look at it. And she goes, oh my God, they're worse than they were. And I think it's tough when there's not a boogeyman to put our blame on. Mm-hmm. We always had a scapegoat of Boylan or Garpax. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we always wanted to, oh, they were being held back. Like, these were birds that were caged, let them be free. And I do think we kind of have to realize what we have. And that's a 20-point loss is bad. We were down 40. Mm-hmm. And I think that's worse than bad.
Right. And, as Burke just threw into our chat, he said it's on the players now. Mm. I mean, it is on Donovan to do what he can to improve these players as individuals and try to get the best out of them as a collective unit. But the excuse of, like you said, John, the boogeymen are gone, out. So you got to figure out some other way to face yourself in the mirror after performance like this. Dave, your initial reaction.
Just to add on to that point, that's why I liked this season so much, because what you just said, all the excuses are removed. Everything is on them now. And I love that about it. That's why we talked about Laurie and Wendell Carter Jr. and these other guys. Everything is on them now. So whatever we thought that it was the problem, we removed that. So now it's on you. What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? So let's see what you got. And nobody came out and did their thing. But my initial reaction to the game was, honestly, I'm not off the ledge. I'm not insane about me. I'm not happy. You know what I mean? They lost by 40. They were down by 40 in the third quarter, for God's sake. Who's happy about that? But
Dave, we held him to 13 in the fourth.
I would say, but it got up to a point where I was like, dude, Atlanta's not missing anything. And I mean, every shot they threw up was going in. At one point, they were 11 of 22 from three. They were shooting dang near 70% from the field. Okay, like it was insane, like the shots that they were making and the things they were doing. Now, if Atlanta hits all those shots all the time, they're gonna win the finals, period. But
against defense, right. Against defense like that, they will.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, the defense wasn't great, but some of those shots were insane. Like some of those shots they were making, it was like, dude, that's just nasty. Like, what are you gonna do with those Trae Young step backs? There's nothing you could do with that. When Gallinari's coming in, and I mean, he just wouldn't miss with guys in his face. He wouldn't miss. Dude, who was that Render? Who's the white boy that was hit, came in and went on an 8-0 run?
Hooter.
Oh, my God. He came with
Kevin Hooter.
Dude, Herter?
He went in
Kevin Herter.
Crazy out there. He could play. But he was cooking at first, man. But again, you're right. The defense was bad. The defense was not good. From the start, it was bad. Yeah. Watching Wendell Carter Jr. do that stuff from the start was not good.
And I think, you know, Dave, you had that point of they started out so hot, Atlanta did. Some of it was just bad perimeter defense, which, to his credit, was the first glaring thing that Will noticed when we were talking with Purdue and watching these preseason games. He's like, perimeter defense, bad, alarm bells, bad. They started 11 for 22 behind the arc, like you said. They finished 14 for 35, so they only made three of their final 13 attempts, but damage done. And the compounding problem to me that was really bad and really glaring is that while the Bulls were struggling so mightily defensively in the first quarter, in the first half, they were also coughing up the ball with all of these unforced turnovers. And it's like, you can't have both of those things. You can't play like shit on defense and give the Atlanta Hawks 30 points off of your turnovers. Because that's the result. What we saw tonight is the result. If you play like shit on defense and you cough up the ball.
And I believe.
I completely agree.
Yeah. And I believe, like, in the first, because the game was over. The game, I'm not even concerned about what's happening late in the third or in the fourth. Like, so that's why some of those numbers are skewed, like the final score and things like that. And like you said, the three-point shooting of finishing like they did, that stuff was skewed. But I believe they had, what, 8 turnovers going into the third quarter or something like that, or something putrid like that. And, I mean, it was just bad, dude. The passing was bad. The spacing was – we didn't see it. We were seeing kind of some of that in the preseason. They didn't have that tonight at all. Everybody was in everybody's way. And it was only when Zach LaVine went and decided to go do what he wanted to do that, you know, it looked like something. But that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be space and ball movement. That's the things we were getting excited about seeing this season. And we saw none of that tonight.
So, but does Sato or Thad or Denzel fix this?
I don't know if they fix it, John. I think having them, it makes it not a 40-point game. And again, I think that's what I'm looking at. Is I don't think it makes it a
20-point game.
I don't think it makes a 40-point game. You know, but yeah, it's 40 bad. Points. It's still bad and it's still losing. Yeah, I'm not in disagreement with that at all. But I think it looks a little better. But it, you know, you still look good losing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're still losing. Though. Really. So yeah.
Lakina, what's up, Lakina? Said, can we talk about Zach having 4 fouls in the first half? We did touch on that briefly while we were watching the fourth quarter. I mean, that's rough. I thought maybe that Donovan would give him the hook after foul number 3 when there was, like, I think somewhere between 4 and 5 minutes left in the second quarter. And you're like, all right, we're just going to save you and try and survive. But clearly Donovan was like, no, we need Zach out there. Things are going poorly. So he was like, well, that's the risk that you take. Zach picks up a bad 4th foul. So he starts the second half with 4 fouls. He's got a 5th foul early mid third quarter. And look, let me preface this by saying I in no way miss Chris Dunn. He was inactive for Atlanta tonight because of course he's not healthy. Shock of the season opener. Zach LaVine trying to guard Trae Young. Like, we've given Zach some kudos here and there in those 4 preseason games, hustling back in transition, breaking up transition opportunities to get, you know, of opponents, getting his hands into passing lanes. His effort has been better, but Zach is still just not a very good defender, and a guy like Trae Young cooked Zach and got him in early foul trouble, and it was a disaster for Zach's night.
But Zach can just cook him back. Cook him back. Do what you like. He doesn't have to be a good defender. He can do just score more points. Like, I think that's how you battle him. Like, get Trae Young. Trae Young isn't some all world defender. He's shorter than all of us.
And that's honestly another problem. The Bulls did not take advantage of Trae Young and his defensive liabilities tonight.
Yeah, we got big guards ish. Yeah. Shout out to Christian. Shout out to Feast or Famine for the. Thank you so much, guys. Truly, like that's.
Yes,
appreciate y'all.
I'm a born again Christian, and I believe it is Feast or Famine. I believe that's real. I believe it's real.
It's Christmas Eve, you guys. It is the holiday season. It's the spirit of giving.
That's what the Bulls did for the Hawks. They gave him this game and said, "It's also with you."
And also,
you know, here is our frankincense. This game
and with your spirit, I think is what
they change it.
You know,
because the church was like, let's change. That's what we need to change. of all the things, that's it. But I do. Yes, you're right. I feel like I'm going to treat myself. You know how bad it was the first preseason game. I'm going to learn from that and say this is the first game. Mm-hmm. This is the first game.
Yeah,
like.
And I think, you know, you're right to say, yeah, it's Trae Young. He's going to have performances like that. You just need to match it. You know, Ben, our buddy just a minute ago in the chat said, Trae Young's an all-star. He did all-star shit. That's right. And if Zach had knocked down a few more from behind the arc, he would have been on, like, matching Trae Young's offensive night in the early going. But because Zach was only getting his looks inside and not knocking down his three-point shot, which he was hitting at a remarkably efficient pace in those four preseason games, it's like he fell behind Trey offensively, and we also – those glaringly noticeable, weak spots for Zach defensively, and it was like, okay, one of these guys is an all-star. And one
Did you guys –
Go ahead.
Well, someone brought it's being brought up in the chat because I had this thought watching the game, and I was like, you know what we need? A point guard. You know who's going to be the number one pick next year? Cade Cunningham. You know what Chicago starts with? The letter C.
Oh, Lord.
Did you think about Cade Cunningham at all during this game?
No.
Because I did. I was like, okay.
But – do we have to ask him to legally change his name to like Cade Cunningham?
Oh my god, I love that.
Or Cade Cunningham from Chicago.
But wouldn't he be perfect? Like, we need a point guard, right? I don't know.
Christian, too early to start a hashtag fade for Cade campaign.
Fade for Cade? Oh my god.
That's better than crash for Cade.
Works and at least the schedule sucks for the Bulls. This was Atlanta, one of the few teams the Bulls managed to beat last season. And from here, we've got a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, Pacers and Warriors. Not maybe as intimidating because that Warriors team has taken some hits and they just took a licking last night in one of those two, doubleheader opening.
They have the good Trae Young. They have Trae Young is the poor man's what Golden State has.
They have a better Trae Young. And then that's the three-game homestand to open the season. And then they play, I think, 10 of their next 13 on the road. And they were talking about it in the broadcast, Adam Amin and Stacey tonight at one point, 12 games in 21 days to start the season.
A lot of that NBA schedule is going to definitely be looking like as far as the games
are concerned. And it's mostly on the road, and it's mostly high caliber, like playoffs last year kind of team.
So, wait, you're still sticking with the 0-12? Are you feeling the 0-12 now, John, Matt?
No, we'll win one.
I can't confidently tell you when the Bulls are going to get their first W. I can't.
They could win against the – I don't think the Pacers are that good.
Maybe the Pacers on Saturday.
Did they win tonight?
Everybody's talking about the Pacers just kind of like having a falling out this year. And I think it's mostly just because there are rumors about Oladipo and him not being like thrilled to be where he is.
And he's not that good.
I don't know.
They're asking, hey, Matt, who was it? Ben says, who helped stop the Hawks last year?
No, it was Chris Dunn.
I will say this. I thought Chris Dunn was my least favorite basketball player to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Chandler and Wendell.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot them together. I cannot watch both of them.
Dude,
but did you see that great bucket that little floater Hutch had in the paint in the third quarter when the Bulls were down by 40?
I go, that was good. And then I was like, that's his first bat. That's his first basket. That was his first. When Wendell had those two turnovers for no reason in the first quarter, and he fell on the ground.
He fell on the ground and turned it over.
I was like, did you bet money on the Hawks? Like, are you throwing and then Otto comes in and gets like three rebounds over him.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because Otto Porter's taller than our starting center.
Yeah.
He's an inch taller.
Yeah.
He is 6'10".
Yo. Oh my God.
Like,
yeah, it's bad. Can I get to the good
stuff? Get to the good stuff.
For the record, Lowry led the Bulls on the glass tonight with 7. Wendell had 6. Otto and Hutch each had 5.
Get to the Lowry. Lowry marketed.
God, okay. This has been pretty dark so far. Can we talk about that because it's been dark so far? Can we talk about the game Lowry had tonight? Coupled with his final preseason game, which certainly showed some more aggression and knocked down some threes, this game from Lowry tonight, again, 21 points on 6 of 9, 4 of 6 downtown, 5 of 5 at the stripe, 7 boards, 4 assists, and a steal. that, like, give me that from Lowry every night, and I will feel good about all of the hype I've put behind this kid for 3 years.
And it's the, I think the only thing that you want to improve is maybe rebounds and only 5 free throws. He should, that should be
right. Got to get double free throw line
minimum.
More.
Minimum. You should be getting fouled. You should be just going towards the paint.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked how he played from the beginning, from the onset, how he came out with those first two threes that he hit from the corner, because there were no hesitation in the shots that he took. He, as soon as he got it, it was gone. Like, he wasn't worried about it. And you could tell he wasn't thinking about it. He was just reacting and was just playing basketball. Ooh. And he was showing you everything, a little bit of everything that we think he has. He was showing you a little bit of all that. So after the threes came, then he started, and he came in with the second unit. He started going to the bucket more because he had more mismatches playing against that second unit. That's that little stuff that I've been looking for him to, you know, that recognition. Because I remember when he was getting on my nerves these past couple years when he wouldn't go in the post against smaller opponents. Well, watching him do that tonight, I said, ah, thank you. Yes, your eyes are open. You're looking at stuff. You're seeing it. That's what I want to see more of. And then the three-point barrage that he went on, it was just exciting to see. What'd you say, man? He was what, 4-6 from the three-point line? 4-6 Excellent work from him, man. And he tried to get involved passing. He tried to get involved on the pick and roll. But Wendell Carter Jr. has hands of stone, and he couldn't catch some of those. But Daniel Gafford has hands like a Spider-Man and was catching them and dunking them backwards. I want to see more of that. I just want to see more of that, but I just liked how he played his all-around game.
I agree. What is up with his hands?
Yeah, man. Dude, what is that?
Dude, I had people on Twitter throughout the night saying, like, hey, like, what is up with Wendell's hands? We've talked about it a million times, you guys. We need to recreate that scene from The Replacements, you know, with Keanu and Gene Hackman, where there's that receiver I'm drawing a blank on the actor's name, Orlando Jones, something.
Jones.
And they like rub like that nasty ass super glue all over his hands because he's a receiver who keeps dropping the football. Can we just put a bunch of super glue on Wendell's hands? Giants,
when he catches the toilet paper, just have it do that. Catch the toilet paper. We don't know what our lineups are, I think, too. And it feels like Patrick Williams weirdly is going to be a starter. Yeah. Like, it feels like I'm not too worried about him.
Ben said, Wendell looked like me on the hot mic. I don't know what to do with my hands. Wendell doesn't know what to do with his hands.
Unbelievable.
From the beginning, guys, from the start, he looked like that. That's what's so infuriating. From the start, it wasn't like he came in down. And you got acclimated to the game, and then you said, oh, man, you know, I just had a bad game tonight. No, you fell down when they gave you the basketball from the jump. And then you turned it over the next time you were around.
Held out.
And then you committed a foul the next time. It was bad all game long. All game long.
Well, it's Christmas, guys. So if you could give a gift to one player on the Bulls, whether it's to give Wendell a brain or what would you give them for the holidays in the spirit of Christmas?
Oh man, I'm giving Wendell some hands. He needs hands, man. You need hands. He can't catch the ball. Like that's the number one thing. And ball isn't the name of the game you play. You should be able to catch it.
It's too big. It's too big for his head.
Too big.
It's too big.
What about you, Matt?
Can I give myself a gift instead of any of them? And can that gift be like, you know, a bottle of bourbon and a
shotgun?
Don't
you have that already?
Okay. I have one of those things.
He has the gun.
Right.
Texas has weird liquor laws. He can't get it down there.
Everyone on this team needs to be better. It's impossible to pick one person to say, if I can give the gift of this part element of basketball to this player, that I, you know, can I give Kobe the gift of like supervision to make him a better point guard? No, because I'm pretty sure the superpowers aren't real.
But he could get LASIK. I would give Patrick Williams the gift of health. I want to protect him like he's Baby Yoda, and I don't want anything to happen to him.
Mm. Eli says, Wendell in the hands because he wouldn't feel it.
That's true.
You're right. He wouldn't feel it.
I think he's pretty dense.
Not that Matt said, I would give Billy Donovan a better team.
Yes. Ooh. I mean, that poor guy.
Yeah. I was going to say I would give Billy Donovan patience if he needs it. I think he didn't take this job thinking that the Bulls were going to be like, you know, in the hunt for the sixth or seventh seed. I think he knew with his interview with AK and Eversley that this was going to be a process, no Sixers pun intended, and that it wasn't going to be an easy one and it wasn't going to be a quick one. He wouldn't have taken the job if he didn't believe that there was something to work with here and that he wanted the job. But anyone who thought that Donovan was going to show up day one, 2 weeks of training camp without summer league for the rookie and the second year guys, and just all of a sudden things would just be fixed like that. Like, no, this team was 20 something games under 500 last year. And yes, we blamed a lot of that on the coach who's now gone, but talent matters. We don't have much. It's like Adam Sandler in The Wedding Singer. It's like, I like money. I don't have much. I keep a jar of it above the fridge. I like to put more in that jar. That's where you come in.
Oh, man. Burke says, can we see this? He's talking about Lowry. He said, can we see this consistently? Lowry needs to be consistent before I give him my trust. The next game cannot be 11 points on 6 shots.
I agree.
Completely agree with you. Yeah,
I think that's such a great way to look at it too. We're looking for you can do this. Will you do this?
Yes. Right, yeah, John. Yeah.
I can't wait to I'm like super pumped to see the Pacers to see if we can just lose by 15. Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
No.
I want this to not be a white elephant gift for Billy Donovan. I want it to be a gift he actually wants. And I don't want this team to be like, haha, we got you. We tricked you.
Guys, do you want to feel even better about Patrick Williams? You want to know what LaMelo Ball's stat line was tonight in his NBA debut? 0 points in 16 minutes. 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 3 from downtown. He did have 1 rebound, 3 assists, 2 fouls.
2 fouls?
Scoreless.
Yeah.
Scoreless. Pat Will, rookie of the year.
Shut it down.
Ricky, shut it down. Let's go home.
That's it.
Patrick Throw. Let's go. Patrick
Dario,
rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Patrick L. Williams, rookie of the year.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I lost Burke's call. Oh, there. Burke says Kobe can't get away with how he played. He was horrendous tonight. Wendell was also bad. But if your point guard is that bad, you aren't going to win many games. You're 2 for 2 there. I mean, absolutely right, man. Like, your point guard is the quarterback. If your quarterback sucks, your team's not going to be good. Like, that's the rules. We know that as Bears fans. We know this. And that's the absolute correct assessment. He has got to be better, guys. And what I didn't like was he just didn't look like himself. It looked like he was trying to do what they kind of want him to do. And I don't mean Billy Donovan when I say that. I mean just when I say people, like people on the outside. Like, man, you got to pass the ball more. You got to facilitate. You got to do this and hit these spots. He's good when he's just going in and he's just scoring. He's like, here's the basketball. Thank you. Let me hit you with this step back and run down the floor and talk my stuff and let my beautiful hair flap in the wind. That's when he's at his best. Now, he's cool, and that's where his facilitating kind of comes from, right, of him scoring and him getting that confidence that way. I think he needs to do that and work his way into the facilitating that kind of way.
I love it. It makes complete sense. You know how when they say, like, for shooters, you need to get to the basket and that frees you up and you can shoot better? Mm-hmm. I think he needs to score and that will free him up to be a better passer.
Yeah.
like just get comfortable. You're a scorer. Passing is something you're trying to get better at. Don't start behind. Start ahead and just start scoring, and that will open up the game for you. Then people will be guarding you and people will be open. I think we kind of have to almost do it like that. How we tell shooters to drive.
I like that.
Yeah. It's going to be a process for Kobe this season, trying to figure that out. Ben said Kobe will not continuously have games like tonight. I think you're gonna see, you're not gonna see Kobe go 2 of 11 from the field, including 1 of 7 from downtown every night. He's gonna have nights where he shoots better, but I think Dave, like you hit on the head where you just said he just didn't look like himself tonight. I don't know if he got it into his own head a little bit, just like it's my first, you know, it's my second season, first game of the season. I'm starting. And every, like, we've done him no favors. And I don't mean we, us,
I haven't done him any favors. Right, but
I could be nicer. Like, we, the fan base and the media, hyping it up since, like, things shut down in March. And we were like, all right, well, let's start talking about next season because we sure as shit ain't going to the bubble. And it was like, Kobe White this, Kobe White that, because he was the only good thing left at the end of last season when we were all burnt out and ready to kill ourselves. And I think Kobe, as much as he's a kid who wants to provide that enthusiasm and talent and optimism for this team, for its fan base, for the city, that's a lot to put on the mind of a 19, 20-year-old kid. And maybe tonight it was just a little too much for him.
I'm expecting him to bounce back from that. Because all this kind of reminds me of the first preseason game. And just the bounce back from Kobe from that was spectacular, and it was much better. So I'm kind of expecting that from him. So yeah, I can say that about him, but he's the, like, one of the players I'm not really concerned about, because I've seen him last year reach that point where he said, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to do this. And I expect him to reach that point earlier now, because now he has a little more confidence and he has a coach that kind of believes in him and his game. So I'm expecting a good bounce back game from Kobe White to answer one of the questions earlier about what are we going to see from the next game. That's kind of what I want to see, or what I think I'm going to see from Kobe White.
What I'm excited about.
Oh, I think
have someone who's a coach that's going to problem solve. Like, I know this, we're not going to roll out and try the same thing and just hope it works again.
Right.
And that is such a better feeling than we were last year. If we lost by 40, we'd be like, great, we're going to do the exact same thing. And it's nice to know, like, I bet we have someone who's going to be like, cool, what can I do better? And what can we do differently?
Yeah.
Because clearly that didn't work.
Right.
And maybe this will help Kobe and help our young players, like, not just constantly be set up to fail.
I think the part of the conversation when it comes to Kobe that we're kind of ignoring, and that I think a lot of the fan base doesn't want to face as a possible reality, is what Patrick said. Patrick said, Sada's the only playmaker. Kobe is a shooting guard. He doesn't have the ability nor decision-making to run point guard. I feel like that is something that was said about Kobe when he came out of the draft. That is something that I think a significant portion of the fan base felt and saw in his rookie year. Even though they said start Kobe, Zach and Kobe backcourt is going to be exciting to watch and dangerous offensively. Kobe is a shooting guard and a microwave scorer and not a floor general point guard is, I think, a talking point and a form of reality that the fan base is just so excited about Kobe that they are just looking past and ignoring. And I think tonight was a pretty good reminder
I don't think people are ignoring it. I think it's true. But the difference is Kobe White is a better shooting guard than Sato is a point guard. So you got to put your best on the floor. It doesn't matter. Your best players have to be on the floor, and that's how it has to be. Now if you want to remove, like, and move Zach to three and start other stuff there, that's fine. Like, you can do all those other things. But your best players have to be there. And that's why they wanted him to kind of learn that position, because they know he has to be on the floor. You know, it wasn't like they were like, oh, we're strapped at this position. We need you to learn that. It's no, you're the best. Like, you got to learn it because you have to be there at all times. Sato is going to be awesome, I think, coming off the bench. Like, he's going to provide that punch and that, you know, calmness. And he can also do it in the fourth quarter. You know, even though him not starting, he can still find a way in that fourth quarter when we need, you know, that sure hand in this, Matt, and we need that guy to, you know, set everything up. He still can find a way into that game, you know what I'm saying, and provide that impact for this team, man. But, yeah, Kobe, he's got to start. You're right, though. He's not good at it. Like, he's not good. He's seen it. We've shown it. But you got to have him on the floor. He has to be on the floor.
TJ said, feel like Kobe's too robotic, doesn't feel and adjust. He predetermines what he will do and goes for it instead of just reading – the defense. I think that's what Kobe looked like tonight. I think we saw glimpses in those preseason games of Kobe reading the defense a little bit more and taking what they were giving him. And we were like getting a little ahead of ourselves with how excited we were.
Yeah.
It was preseason. Marlon, also, we were a horrible team with a horrible coach. Only played five games in 8 months. Yeah,
that's true.
That's true.
It's going to take some time to knock off all of this rust and adjust to a new coach. All right, guys, as we wrap up here, final thoughts, anything else that you wanted to get to from tonight's game or maybe something you're looking ahead to try and get a bounce-back win against the Pacers on Saturday? Because remember, that was really ugly, but the Bulls can get back to 500 just by winning on Saturday.
Wash it off of us. Wash this game off of us.
Wash it off and on to the next. I think that's it. I'm excited to see the guys who didn't play tonight. I just want to see what they look like. I'm not saying they're going to be world beaters. I just want to see what it looks like when those guys, Garrett Temple, the Bulls legend, Denzel Valentine, and Satoransky get on the court. So I don't have to see Mokoka and I don't have to see Arch come in and get these huge minutes.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of Denzel Valentine, I think we can safely say that on opening night, our pal Fred's prediction of the seventh seed this season, man, already dead.
The Alex Jones this is of not Bulls Twitter, seed. I swear.
I was, you know, guys, in my head, I had a bet going what was going to be said first. Matt talk about Fred or John talk about the Mavs. And Matt, congratulations, you won.
I've been good, right? I've been really good.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah. There have even been people teasing the Mavs game in the thread. You haven't been on it at all.
but I do think that Fred, who I love dearly, is so irresponsible with language that he will be sued and he will lose at some point because of something he said. That's something that you can't be sued about. Like that, the judge will be like, "You are irresponsible." Like, like you can't say that about the Bulls. You just can't. It's not real.
It's like. The seventh seed prediction every year is the side-by-side Alex Jones where he's like, look, I tried this weight loss program, and it's just like he got into a tanning booth in the picture on the right, but he's still just
being like
an MVP
candidate is like saying Sandy Hook is actors. Like, he will say something that everyone will be like, oh, man, no, man. We got to go to court over this. We have free speech, but we got to go to court. Like,
yes.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow. You know what? I think on that note, it's a good thing that we are not doing this show on MVP right now.
And people keep shouting out your gloves too, John. Everybody in the chat really is feeling your gloves.
So they're my new glove. I love
they're very patriotic, which maybe is the thing that we can actually be in less than a month. All right, guys, we're out of here. Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks to Evan and Ben who hopped on and joined the broadcast for a while.
Thank you.
Reminder to all of you, when we're back on Saturday, you can join the show with us for just a small donation to the three of us. We would very much appreciate it. Appreciate those of you who threw some tip dollars tonight. The holiday season is here, and we hope that you are all safe and healthy. And enjoy Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. We will be back Saturday for Bulls Pacers. We'll try again, and hopefully it will be better. Have a great night, everybody. For John Sabine, Dave Watson, I'm Matt Beck. Thanks for watching.